Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, The History of the Life of Ajamiyoma, text number 24, I'll just read the, 23, I'll just read the translation for that. My dear king, while he thus spent his life in abominable sinful activities, maintained his family of many sons, 88 years of his life passed by. So I don't think this is Satya Yuga. Adipurusha, how could it be Satya Yuga? Well, if he's old at 88 years old, and they live for 100,000 years in Satya Yuga, how could it be Satya Yuga? It must be Kali Yuga. So, text number 24. I mean, that's a long time in family life. 88,000 years. Tasya pravayasa putra dashate sham tu yo vamaha palo narayano namna pitros cha daito bruksham. Tasya, of him, Ajamila, Pravayasha, who is very old, Putra, sons, Dasha, 10, Tesham, of them, 2, but, Ya, the one who, Avamanaha, the youngest, Bala, child, Narayana, Narayan, Namna, by name, Pitro, of the father and mother, Cha, and Dayata, dear, Brisham, very. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. That old man Ajamila had 10 sons, of whom the youngest was a boy named Narayan. Since Narayana was the youngest of all sons, he was naturally very dear to both his father and his mother. Purport. The word Pravayasha indicates Ajamila's sinfulness, because although he was 88 years old, he had a very young child. According to Vedic culture, one should leave home as soon as he has reached 50 years of age. One should not live at home and go on producing children. Sex life is allowed for 25 years between the ages of 25 and 45, or at the most 50. After that, one should give up the habit of sex life and leave home as a vanaprastha, and then promptly take sannyas. Ajamila, however, because of his association with the prostitute, lost all Brahminical culture and became most sinful, even his so-called household life. In one sense, time is relative, so if Kukumi, when he went with Revati, could go to Brahmaloka and pass a few minutes there, which is billions of years, or hundreds of millions of years of our time, then our experience of time is completely relative. So what's their experience of time in different yugas is completely different. The more one is in the mode of goodness, then the more quickly time seems to pass. And the more one is in ignorance, the slower time goes. So we're in ignorance. Time still seems to go pretty fast anyhow, because we're in a very short period of time. So here it says that Ajamil was absorbed in family life. Prahlad Maharaj said, Yanmai tu naidi, grihamedi sukham hitu cham. That such experience is tucham, or as insignificant. But for the materialist, or for one of material consciousness, it doesn't appear to be very insignificant, because it's the only happiness. If you're in a desert, and at least you have one drop, you'll relish the one drop quite a bit, because that's all you have, is that one drop. So, out of all the different types of happiness in the material world, it is said that sex life is the topmost. As in the spiritual world, love, or prema, is the topmost. So here, the opposite of that is kam, or lust, and that's the topmost here. And the topmost lust is sex life, because it satisfies, it's the greatest intensity of sense gratification. The senses are gratified by their objects, the mind feels some kind of satisfaction, the intelligence thinks of how much it's gaining, the false ego thinks about how much it's controlling. And if one can give up that, then one becomes liberated. As Prabhupada said, when it was the end of 1977, when he was about to depart from this world, he said, I've given up eating. I'm not eating anything. I'm not sleeping. Or he said, sex life, there's no question. He said, defending, there's no question. I've given up eating and sleeping, so I must be liberated. So liberation means to go beyond the demands of the senses. Kama krodha vimuktanam yatinam yata chetasam abhito brahmanirvana vartate viditatmanam. Are those who are free from all material desires and from anger. Kama krodha vimuktanam yatinam yata chetasam. And are controlling their consciousness. Abhito brahmanirvana. Liberation, the supreme, is in the very near future. Shakno diyaiva yakshodum prakshari remokshanat kama krodo bhavan begam siyukta sasaki nara. Shakno diyaiva yakshodum. One is able to control the forces of anger and check the, one is able to control the forces of material desire and check the force of desire and anger. Or I guess one who controls his senses, check the forces of desire and anger. He is a yogi and he is happy in this world. Therefore, we're supposed to learn. Even sense gratification is supposed to teach us something. It's not supposed to be completely a waste of time. If we perform activities like the animals without any understanding what we're doing, then of course it's just a waste of time. It's a waste of a lot of time, because then we'll wind up to be an animal. But in the human form of life, we're supposed to do everything with some awareness of what the purpose is, what the goal is. So sex life, when it's done with knowledge, can actually elevate oneself, because one can understand that after some time, if especially one has a good fortune of cultivating Krishna consciousness, that one is just wasting one's time. That the senses, kama, kamadinam, kati na, kati palitas, durni deshas, te shamayi jata, na karuna, na no pashanti, utsri jatam yatapate, labad buddhis, tvam ayatam, ayanam, tvam vishunti yang, what's the last word? I'm giving it up. What's that? That kamadinam katida katidas palitas dorni deshas. In so many different ways we're trying to satisfy our senses. Indeed, Kali Yuga means people are very dissatisfied and they're inventing newer and newer ways to try to satisfy their senses. They're not satisfied sleeping in a simple place. They have to invent new ways of sleeping, new sheets, new mattresses, water beds, air beds, underwater beds, air beds, somehow or another, try to increase the happiness in sleeping, as if when you're sleeping, your whole dream is I'm sleeping on an air mattress. One does not, if one is actually asleep, one is not aware of what one's sleeping on. If you get used to sleeping on the floor, you're not even aware of the fact that you're sleeping on the floor. If someone wakes you up and says, sir, you must be suffering, you're sleeping on the floor. I wasn't suffering until you woke me up. I was doing all right. As far as eating, you can go, probably you can go to the newsstand and you'll see that they have dozens of magazines just on eating. How to prepare all kinds of different kinds of food. From vegan food to vegetarian food to animal food, probably in the future, to human flesh. Well, even when Prabhupada was here, some devotees were mentioning to Prabhupada that there's a sheikh group of people. Sheikh means so-called sophisticated group of people in New York, and they have meetings where they relish baby flesh, because that was quite available at that time. Due to abortions, you could buy baby flesh quite cheap. Probably cheaper than going and buying a chicken. So, utility is the principle. So they would sell it to some people. They were using babies, the dead babies, also to heat up the Planned Parenthood. They were just throwing them in the incinerators to heat up the building. Utilize them. And of course, they also utilize them for all kinds of other things, including eating them. So we don't have to wait till the end of Kali Yuga. They're already doing these things. And when I grew up, we were amazed. We found out that there are stores in New York where you can go and buy chocolate-covered caterpillars. Chocolate-covered ants. You've never had a chocolate-covered ant? I haven't either. And if you go to Korea, as they sell pretzels in the street in New York, they also have boxes where they also have people on the street with boxes where they sell cockroaches. Cucarachas. You can go on the street and you can buy a cockroach alive, they're alive, because some people like the sensation when they swallow them. When the cockroaches, with their many legs, they walk down your throat, it tickles your throat. So some people take pleasure having their throat tickled from the inside. And what to speak of sex life? Now children grow up, they don't even know if they're male or female anymore. Both their parents are female or perhaps male. They have no idea what a male or female is. And Prabhupada said some ladies, they keep big dogs because they like to enjoy with the big dog. So anything goes in Kali Yuga. We won't go into the whole history. And of course, defending has become very popular. Everyone has to learn some kind of martial art and try it out on the younger brother and sister. Hopefully they have insurance. So eating, sleeping, mating, defending has become very, very, people are completely absorbed in these things in Kali Yuga. And there is absolutely no sense to it. But it's considered to be, as I said, as one realizes that these things are temporary and insignificant, if one is cultivating Krishna consciousness, then one can see that here I'm having some material enjoyment and how much a price I'm paying for it, if one has enough intelligence. Now people have all kinds of diseases nowadays. They have what to speak of the common diseases like arthritis and chronic colds and all kinds of things. What to speak of heart attacks and cancer and all the diseases caused by the fact that when you go to the hospital, all the drugs they give you, which is probably the major source of problems. The operations that happen. So what is the root cause of all of it? Unrestricted sex life, which is the root cause of why people eat animals and take intoxication and speculate. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She doesn't love me. She loves my money. So it's the root cause of all the different types of material complexities. And if one doesn't follow the regular principles of devotional life, one can't understand that. Because one's intelligence is taken away, one doesn't realize that all my mental and physical problems, they're caused by my uncontrolled senses and uncontrolled desires and my lack of knowledge and my false ego. One doesn't realize that, so one keeps on, as it says, Dayato Vishampum Sam Sangas Teshu Pajayate Sangas Sanjayate Kama Kama Krodo Pajayate Krodad Bhavati Samoha Samaha Smriti Vibramsat Smriti Bramsat Buddhinasho Buddhinachat Pranashati. That the material world means we're bored. That's the first cause of the material existence. We don't know what to do, where to get happiness. We're not feeling good. We're not feeling happy. So we look around, what's my options? And Kali Yuga means there are so many options. When Ajamiya was there, there weren't so many options. When he saw his first option, he became attached to his first option. Two Shudras embracing in the forest. But except for that, imagine what they call primitive time. There was no internet, there were no magazines, there was no public schools. There were no options for sense gratification, practically speaking, or very limited. But he became attached to the first option. But nowadays there are unlimited options, and we're feeling dissatisfied, bored, depressed, whatever. Then we look around, what is my options? An advertisement takes an option which is actually tuchavat, insignificant, the tevidu swartikatimi vishnu, darashayaye bahir, artamanina. It's artamanina. It's just external to reality, it's to our real selves, but we take it as something very important. Or at least it's presented to us, it's very important. When you see an advertisement for a candy bar, it looks like it came out of Vaikuntha. And when you open the candy bar to see what it looks like, you think, there must be some mistake. It couldn't be possibly what I just bought. This is 10 times smaller than the advertisement. And the only thing that's attractive is the wrapper. As I once mentioned, they fed shredded wheat to some rats to find out what the nutritional value of the shredded wheat was. But when they opened the box, they left the box, and the rats, they ate the box and left the shredded wheat. They were bewildered by the advertisement. They knew if there's any nutrition in the box, it must be it must be the box. So Kali Yuga means there's so much advertisement. Even they have some advertisement, they have half-naked woman, and the whole thing is photoshopped. The lady has 20 kilos overweight, but by Photoshop she lost 20 kilos. When, without the makeup and everything else, she looks like she was an expansion of Putana. But with everything taken, with everything photoshopped, she looks like she was Putana transformed into the goddess of fortune. And that's what sells. Not the reality, it's the imagination. People in Kali Yuga, they're not interested in what's actually real. They're interested in what's imagined. They live in their imagination. When they had this movie Avatar, which I'm sure all the devotees went to see because it had the spiritual name of Avatar. Therefore, it must have been spiritualized. But I was heard that people became very depressed because they were so much absorbed in the world of the avatar that they became depressed when they saw what their actual world was like. Because people's worlds are very monotonous, punak punas charavita, charavanana, chewing the chewed, eating the same, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, trying to get squeeze some happiness from these things. And they get depressed because there's no happiness. And although they're offered all kinds of varieties of these things, still ultimately it turns out to be the same thing over and over again. So one should learn, if one is actually following the Vedic principles, then one starts questioning, maybe there's something better. The surprising thing is that is Satya Yuga, which means that although the experience is 100 years, but compared to us, it's more of a full 100 years. And Ajamil, after 88 years, hadn't learned anything, which means that if there was a Vedic culture, he was quite apart from it. And his sense gratification was just being forced to chew the chewed over and over again. So this is quite unfortunate. Whether it's Satya Yuga or Kali Yuga or whatever yuga is, wherever we are, if we don't have Vedic knowledge, and especially in this age, Krishna consciousness is introduced in the chanting of the holy names, so that we can get a higher taste and realize that this is the same thing over and over again, but there is an alternative. By the higher taste, we see there's an alternative. That's called samskar. By some samskar, we realize there's something better, there's something different, there's some alternative that I have to choose from. I don't have to simply act like an animal. Then there is some possibility of at least going towards the path of liberation. And therefore, one's life becomes auspicious. Although it may be full of inauspiciousness in one sense, but if one is going towards liberation, then one's life is actually auspicious and meaningful. If one simply chants once in Kali Yuga, hearing from a devotee the holy name and repeats it, then one has made some advancement. Now we find there are many people chanting Hare Krishna in these groups nowadays, but they're hearing from the Mayavadis. Such hearing from Mayavadis and repeating the holy name will not prove to be very auspicious and may actually degrade people even further unless they're fortunate enough to get the association of devotees. Because if you have the right thing and you have the wrong understanding about it, then it's very, very inauspicious. If you have the means of elevation and you misuse it to become degraded, then there's no choice, there's no possibility of redemption, of getting out of your entanglement. So when we chant Hare Krishna, we hear from the right source, then we can progress towards liberation. We hear from the wrong source, and we take it up with the wrong attitude, then instead of being the cause of our elevation, it becomes even the cause of our further degradation. We would have expected Ajamil after 88 years to have learned something, but apparently he didn't learn anything. But somehow or another, because he was somewhat innocent, and because I guess this is a many factors, but this is used as an example. Therefore, he got the benediction of his previous life's experience, when it was most needed. So that instead of becoming going to hell with the Yamadutas because he had performed some devotional activities, therefore he was saved at the time of death, saved from going to hell. But because his, obviously if he had a higher enough taste in devotional life previously, it is unlikely he would have become so degraded. Therefore, we find that even those who are, and especially in India nowadays, people, superficially they were following the Vedic culture, but had no idea why they were doing it. It was just a ritual, because their grandmother told them to do it, and therefore they do it. And therefore there's so much concoction. They worship, you go to the house, and on their altar, everyone's there. Every god or goddess, demigoddess is there. Every so-called saint is there. Everyone's there. And they're all treated equally. And why are they? Because their grandmother told them to do it. They have no idea why they're all there. But because their grandmother, if you ask their grandmother, because her grandmother told her. And it goes all the way back. So there's no knowledge. It's just like when Garfield died. I don't remember his name, but I think we can use the word name Garfield. Garfield was an ass. And the washer man had an ass named Garfield. And Garfield died. And the custom in the Veda culture was that if a close relative died, then you shaved your head. So the washer man shaved his head because Garfield was such a close, intimate associate of his. The tax collector came by and asked tax collector, why you had a shaven head? And he said, because Garfield died. He said, really? I didn't know Garfield died. So he shaved his head. And then the policeman on the street asked the tax collector, why do you have a shaven head? He said, you haven't heard? Garfield died. So he also shaved his head, the policeman. And the police chief asked the policeman, why have you shaved your head? He said, you haven't heard? It's all over the town. Garfield died. And therefore the police chief also shaved his head. So then the mayor asked the police, he's seeing that everyone in my town, they have a shaven head. So he asked the police chief, why is everyone shaving their head? You don't know? Garfield has died. So he also shaved his head. So the governor was visiting. He saw everyone in this town had a shaven head. And he asked, what's going on? Why does everyone have a shaven head? He said, the news hasn't gone to you? Garfield has died. He said, oh, really? So he also shaved his head. So in this way, practically everyone in that province shaved his head. The king came by and he learned about Garfield's death and also shaved his head. So in the whole kingdom, everyone was shaving their head. And then finally one Brahmin asked, he said, who's Garfield? And then an investigation was called and they found out that Garfield was an ass. So people have no idea, and they tell you, "Vidu swartha gatim hi Vishnu, darashya ye bahir artamanina, andaya tandir upigyamanas, te pisha tantra, uru dami bara." They're blind, they don't know that the goal of life is to reach Krishna, therefore they have to take something as their goal, and they're following blind people who also don't know what the real goal is. And the result is they simply get themselves into more and more difficulty. The conclusion is that even a little knowledge can protect one. Neha brikramanashasti pratyava yonavidite svapamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahatovaya. That on this path there's no loss of diminution, and even a little advancement can protect one from the greatest danger. Ehi gyanena sadrisham pavitramiha vidite tat swayam yogasamsida kalainatmine vidite. In this world, there's nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is a mature fruit of all mysticism, and one who has achieved this knowledge enjoys the self within himself in the due course of time. In other words, we shouldn't underestimate what we're doing. We shouldn't overestimate it either, but we shouldn't underestimate it, that what we're doing is so auspicious that even an ordinary person, if he gets a little bit of it, he can be saved from the most dangerous type of fear of going to the lower species of life. Of course, we should also present it as it is. We shouldn't cover it over with some materialistic conception. When we give people prasadam, we should let them know it's prasadam. We should know, we should present Krishna consciousness in a way that people understand that that's what we're giving them. Of course, when we're selling books, that may be a different thing. Selling this giving people transcendental knowledge in the form of books is so auspicious that if it's fairly presented and inspiring people to read it, then they'll get all the benefit. But generally speaking, we want to present ourselves, and if people inquire, who are you, and we tell them that we're the Hare Krishnas, they get so much benefit, it's almost inconceivable. If they hear from the right source, in a favorable mood, and they hear from a devotee who has the right understanding, then there's so much benefit in that association. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Okay. He was first, though. Okay. You're second. Okay. Yes, especially the ladies. Probably we're above sannyas. We're all expected to work on the liberated platform, which is we call Madhyama Adhikari, Madhyama platform. When we love Krishna, our activities are done favorably to please Krishna, when we're cooperating with the devotees to spread the Hare Krishna movement to the innocent, and when we defeat atheistic propaganda or remain aloof from it, we're above sannyas. We're on the spiritual platform. So everyone is supposed to be on that platform. Sannyas is external. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't take sannyas as that important. He took devotional service as important. But for the sake of, because we have a tendency not to purely work on the transcendental platform, therefore we're given different designations in order to assist us in becoming aloof from the illusory energy. But a lady or a man or anyone who's working towards the transcendental platform, who's actually becoming absorbed in devotional service in Krishna consciousness, they're already above sannyas, which is just a material designation. Anything else? Yes.
When we are distributing books and we meet some people that already like practice some meditation, it's more like a personal. But they are not like interested to know other things like mindfulness. Should we like encourage them, or what can be our like response to them?
Well, if they, whatever you can do to get them to take the book, that's all.
Okay, we can like say, "Oh, that's fine."
Yeah, of course. Yeah. More, you know, it's just, that's part of the psychology. You just be super positive and enthusiastic about everything. You just, are you from here? And they go, yes. Wow, that's great. Do you have a family? They go, yes. Wow, that's fantastic. This. Do you have any children? Yes. Wow, how many kids do you have? Wow, you got a good family there. Wow, you have a really good job. Yes, yes, yes. Would you like, can you give a donation? After getting yes, 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 it's very hard to say. It's almost impossible to say no. Everything is positive. you don't want to spoil it, okay, I'll give you a donation. So, generally speaking, we don't want to agitate people's minds by getting into a conflict with them. We want to become one with them, to a degree, of course, you know. You know, what's your job? I'm a butcher. Well, that's great! And we have to be a little bit more discriminating. We don't want to encourage ourselves in the wrong way either, or encourage them. But to a certain point, we should try to be as positive as possible. And then it's very, that's much more easy to sell the book. I meditate. Well, so do I. Wow, that's great. I could tell, but as Vaishya Sika Prabhu would say, I could tell by your eyes, when I look in your eyes, you're spiritual. I go, really? You know? Sometimes Vaishya Sika Prabhu would say that, yeah, I can tell by your, you know, are you interested in spiritual things? I think I see from your eyes that you're actually a spiritual person. And they go, yeah, yeah, I know. I said, what kind of spiritual things they do? I roller skate. Wow, I could tell. And then people, you know, it's very hard for people not to relate with you. Because you've gone into their deepest regions of their heart, appreciated them. And therefore it's much easier to sell the book. You're probably practically a more intimate part of their family than anyone else now. You've understood their inner desires of roller skating. Yes?
May I add something to this?
Yeah, you can, yeah.
Usually when I meet these kind of people, I just say to them that the mind is just like a parachute. It's useless when it's not open. So they're like, yeah, and then more easily thinking.
Yeah, anything that works. And some things that work for one person may not be work for another. Yeah, we have to be. Anyway, sometimes we may have to get used to it. And sometimes we become successful doing something and we get into trouble by doing it. So that we have to be careful about that too. I like tripled my book distribution one time by Brigupati Prabhu. I don't know if you know Brigupati from Los Angeles. Been distributing books for like 45 years or something. We learned this technique. Anyone who was walking by the airport in LAX, which is kind of difficult, they walk by and we go, find something on them because everyone's wearing something that they want to identify themselves with as part, being part of. See, you figure out what they're actually trying to convey by their dress. And you go, wow, look at those shoes. That's fantastic. My name is, you know. And as soon as, you know, the enthusiasm and the fact that you spotted, you know, what they've been trying to convey to everyone for the last 25 years that no one ever noticed, you know, immediately they get affected by it. And then many people start stopping, I mean, stopping line is fantastic. And even the people who saw you every day, you know, they go, ah, and then they say, well, that's fantastic, and they would stop. They couldn't get angry. They couldn't, you know, they were just like bewildered. Wow, this person actually appreciated me. First time, you know, the only person the whole day appreciated me. How can I get angry? It's impossible. They may not take the book, but immediately they were shocked. Of course, the difficulty is if you start complimenting people, they may get too much appreciative of what you're doing. I remember I was distributing books in Charlotte Airport in America, in North Carolina. And I was like the 20th in the world, and I was distributing with the fourth in the world. It was a small airport, so we had limitations of how many books we could actually distribute. But his technique was, he was quite a good looking brahmachari. But whoever was the most attractive, well-dressed lady who walked by the airport, immediately he'd stop her. And if you took a picture of it without the sound, or a movie of it without the sound, you'd think there was some romance going on in the middle of the airport. Inevitably, this attractive lady who had some money would buy a number of books from him. So it was quite successful. Until one day he found the lady he was looking for, and that was the end of his career as a brahmachari and book distributor. So that may not be the best technique in the long run. So we have to be a little cautious too, how far we go with our techniques. Yes?
In the beginning of the class, you had mentioned that sense gratification should teach us something, or the sense indulgence is supposed to teach us something. But recently I was hearing some classes from Devantas, I mean, you were saying like that it's not the case in material energy. It actually doesn't, this material world doesn't teach us if we don't come upon devotees, process of bhakti, like higher knowledge.
It does teach us sometimes. Therefore, it's advised for the lowest class of people to engage in sense gratification unlimitedly so they get burnt out. They realize I'm burnt out from all the sense gratification, which is probably one of the reasons why many people in Kali Yuga come to the Association of Devotees, because they're burnt out. They're just completely burnt, and therefore they want some alternative. So sense gratification can teach us that there is no happiness in sense gratification. And then we have to look, we must try to find some alternative.
But isn't it that it is degrading us, actually, the consciousness, the indulgence in a sense?
Yeah, but you're degraded, you realize you're degraded, we're already fallen, but we don't realize we're fallen until we find out we're falling even more. In other words, we're already fallen, but we accept it as normal. It's until we fall a little bit more, we don't realize we're fallen. And when we become elevated, generally we adopt to our particular present standard and think that's normal. And when we fall a little bit from that present standard, we take that as fallen. So fallen in the material world is rather a relative conception. We're all fallen. It's just a question of how fallen we are. All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.